Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Wherever and whenever you're listening, it's probably beer o'clock, and we've got a lot of good stuff coming up for you right here on the podcast starting right now. Welcome back into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thank you guys so much for listening. I love the pop on that one. That was a good one. It was well-timed. It's a good start to the podcast today.
It's a good start to the end of this year.
It is a good start to the end of this year. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the year in review episode last week. It was less of a year in review and more of our awards for the year, but that's kind of what we prefer to do anyway. And we had fun doing it. It was nice to kind of reminisce and look at the COVID wall and see what we forgot that we had and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I like doing that stuff. I mean, as long as there's substance, I'm in. As long as it's not super boring.
Right.
And just like...
A list.
Do you remember when we couldn't go to pubs?
Ha!
Yeah, dude, I remember that. Like, I quit my job. I'm fully aware we can't do that.
Yeah. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that episode. You know, send us your own personal awards if you want at our various social media pages. Instagram.com/beersonus, Twitter.com/beersonuspod, Facebook.com/beersonus. You can find us at all of those places. You got to make me admin on the Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I got to put you back on that.
I lost my duties so that we could do our videos. What a weird thing Facebook did.
What a weird thing.
We were both admins of the page, so because of that, it had us as both Beers on Us, so we couldn't join each other's chat.
Yeah.
Because really it's like, dumb. Well, no, Beers on Us is already on Beers on Us, yeah. So why would Beers on Us join Beers on Us?
Yeah, why can't Mike be on Beers on Us and I'm on Patrick Harris? And it's like, no.
No.
No, it doesn't work.
You're
that
both
way.
Beers on Us.
Yeah.
You are just an entity now. You are no longer a person.
You suck.
So I lost my admin duties, and I was just the guest for 12 days.
A contributor.
I was a contributor, yes. Noted contributor.
That's a fancy way. Noted contributor.
Yes. So you can go find those videos from the Stone 12 Days of IPAs box all on the Facebook page as well. And you can find this podcast most places you can find podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Radio.com, Stitcher, Omni, 1080thefan.com. Rate, subscribe, review, download, all the things that you can do. It helps us out. I see we've got over 200 Instagram followers now.
Really?
That escalated quickly.
Hey, that's rad.
Yeah, I wasn't really paying attention to it very much. I knew we had somewhere in the range of like 80 or 90 or something. And then I looked and it was like 225. And I was like, oh, cool.
So
Hi, everybody. I
get notifications.
I'm Dr. Nick.
I get notifications of the Instagram account. And I, you know, if anyone starts following, I start seeing it. But what I've noticed lately, I've noticed it more in just likes. I'm seeing usernames that I'm not familiar with.
Mm.
So thank you very much.
If you are new listeners.
Yeah, for not only following, but at least taking that millisecond to double tap the picture and give us a like.
If you're new listeners, hey. Thanks for hopping on.
Hola, mis amigos.
You got a huge backlog of episodes that you could certainly spend some COVID time listening to if you are so inclined, or you can just listen from now on. That's
and
all good.
I would say 75% of those are still relevant.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say a lot of those don't feel like, oh, yeah, 2018, well, that was different.
No.
You know, I still feel like there's a lot of cool stuff in there.
Most of it's relevant. I'd say the least relevant stuff is actually the coronavirus stuff because it was the beginning of a pandemic and we were like, what are we doing?
I don't know what to do.
I'm sure both of us sound massively misinformed, but remember, those were recorded in like April and May.
Yeah, yeah. Well, nobody knew anything.
Nobody knew anything. So it could be a fun time capsule to go.
I thought we were going
to
die back then.
Did you?
No, but I thought things were going to be way worse than they were.
In the very beginning, I wasn't so sure it was as serious as everyone made it out to be, and boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, and in the beginning, I was like, we're all going to die.
And boy, were you right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how to react to that. So we're going to just do a little bit of a quicker episode today, but we're going to do a look ahead at next year. I know we talked a little bit about that last week, but you know, we spent most of the time looking back on 2020 as opposed to looking forward onto 2021. So we'll be doing a little bit of a look ahead to 2021 to see what we expect. There's an interesting note that I wanted to bring up that I actually learned on Primetime yesterday.
Okay.
From a doctor/scientist, I can't remember his official title, maybe it was a professor, predicting what's going to happen in a couple of years. So it's relevant to our interests.
Okay.
So we'll get to that in a second. Week in beer. What did you do this week, sir?
My week in beer, let's see. I had an interesting thing. So I don't know how to explain this without sounding like a just raging alcoholic. But our side gigs are, we work at the radio station. We do sports radio. And around this time, a lot of the full-time hosts take time off.
Mm-hmm.
And I am fortunate enough to be one of the fill-in hosts or fill-in producers now. And so I did the morning show.
It's the first year you've had a real chance, like every week, to really fill in.
Yeah.
Because you don't have another job.
Yeah, it's been really great. I'm really excited about it. And I hope to, you know, continue in this endeavor. I did the morning show on Wednesday and Thursday last week. So Festivus and Christmas Eve. And that show starts at 6. I go to bed at like 2.
6 a.m.
6 a.m. Mm-hmm. I go to bed at like 2. Not really. I'm more like a 12:30, 1 o'clock guy. But it feels like 2 o'clock. And so I'm here racking my brain. How the hell am I going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to get my booty to bed and get up early enough to be a functional sports talk radio host?
Yeah, because you are such a night owl.
I'm such a night owl. And my girlfriend's trying to work on me to be a little better. And I am personally trying as well. It's been a tough transition. So the first day, I was freaking out, didn't know what to do. So at about, let's see, Festivus, or Tuesday. I didn't do anything Tuesday.
For those of you who didn't watch Seinfeld like me, Festivus is December 23rd.
Yes. Also my sister's birthday. Shout out.
Nice.
So Tuesday night, I'm racking my brain. What do I do? Went down to Bridgetown because I was like, well, I'm going to have a beer, relax, and try to figure out what I'm going to do with the night. They had sticky hands on draft. I had 3 of those. That helped. That helped a lot.
The problem is though, when you have 3 sticky hands to go to sleep, you're not having the best sleep.
Right, but I went to bed at 10.
Mm, nice.
Yeah, so you figured it out.
You woke up at 4.
Yeah, it was like,
hey, 6 hours.
I was like, not so bad.
Hey, I'm feeling okay.
I'm feeling okay.
You nap later, I imagine.
Yeah, without a doubt. But I had a nice sticky hand session, which is great because I feel like we don't do that as often. So that was great. I've been kind of heavy on the IPAs this week. Been drinking a lot of the Strata, which we are drinking right now from Breakside.
I just took my first sip and boy, is it good.
Yes, yes.
I hadn't had this one yet.
Yeah, thank you, Breakside, for making a beer that says Patrick's beer for the rest of his life. I've been getting into that. It was Christmas time, so, you know, I'm trying to, I built my stepbrother kind of a variety pack of IPAs of stuff that I, you know, that I love. There's a Punk Rock Time. There's a Volatile Substance, Paper Maker Pale. There was a bunch of cool stuff that I love to drink. But I also drank a bunch of barrel-aged stuff over the holidays. I cracked into some of my older stuff. I had the Mountains of Instead, which is a winter ale aged in apple brandy barrels.
Is that Holy Mountain?
No, it's Breakside.
Oh, that's Breakside.
And it's, yeah, because I've been going through all my old Breakside barrel-aged stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I drank that, and it was funny because I turned it into, I had my sister-in-law take a sip of it, and she's more of like a wine spirit kind of girl. She loves sours, but doesn't love beer a whole lot. And I had her taste, and she was like, oh, I get this, like, cherry flavor to it. I went, oh, crap. It's a touch too old. I waited too long on it.
So what?
Cherry can be, like, cherry cola can be an oxidative flavor in barrel-aged beers if you hang on to it a little too long. Mm. Sometimes it can be pleasant. And sometimes it can be a little overpowering. And it was really fun to see a palate, you know, kind of like what we've been doing here for a long time. See somebody whose palate is completely different than mine correctly call something out. And I thought that was really fun.
So was it to you as well a touch too old?
Yeah, I think so. Like if I would have drank it maybe 6 months ago, it would have been spot on. And I think I just missed it a touch because I was holding out for the holidays.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then outside of that, I have gone through 2 6-packs now of the Wembley IPA from Reuben's. Just a new one-off 12-ounce cans from Reuben's that I thought was incredible.
Well, most of Reuben's IPAs are
incredible. I'd like to get back into some lagers this week. I feel like I've neglected that a little bit.
You want something a little lighter?
I want something a little lighter.
Well, New Year's Eve is coming up, so that might change some things, but...
Yeah, who knows? Let's just get wild.
I didn't do anything super crazy. I did post a picture on the Instagram this weekend.
You had a beer that I was jealous you have that I haven't seen yet.
So I had the Bailbreaker Clarity Rarity number 3, which is their hazy series. I remember buying, I think, number 1 or number 2.
And you were so mad.
Well, I was, because Clarity Rarity. And I saw the word clarity, I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And I poured it, and I went, bleep. Hell no. It actually was a good hazy, though. Bailbreaker makes great beer.
I think Bailbreaker, especially, I mean, I haven't really had anything other than hoppy beer, but their hoppy beers are great.
So... because I liked it, and because I'm trying to be better about trying hazies, and we're seeing better hazies out there now because more breweries are learning that they can get away with not making it crap, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it. And it was another solid hazy. It reminded me a lot of the Stone hazy, where it was unfiltered, and it had some good, like, mild hop characteristics. It wasn't super bitter, but it was still flavorful and good.
Okay.
It kind of reminded me of that. So I was happy about that one. I had the Stormbreaker Chili Chocolate Churro dessert beer. It was good. Okay. Solid. It's tough because I just last week had the Westbrook Mexican cake. So when I'm thinking of spicy dark beers and comparing it to that, it's very unfair. But
everything is hosed from here on out.
It was a solid beer. I had the Bend Brewing Killer Stash Northwest Pale Ale.
How was that? That's the one I saw that I was like, oh, I haven't seen that anywhere.
Market of choice.
Oh, okay.
It was delightful. It actually had a very good denk quality to it for being a pale ale,
really?
Too, which I thought was really interesting. Yeah. All right. It had a little bit more flavor than I was expecting for a pale. It was good.
There's a market of choice on the way home.
And then I actually haven't had this yet. It's still in my fridge, but Von Ebert's Nest of Bees. You talked about it.
Yeah.
So I saw it. I was like, oh, okay, I'll grab it. It's still in my fridge. I haven't had it yet.
Well, great.
That's my
have one thing. A listener came, brought us presents.
Oh.
And I would like to share these
with
you.
Oh, that's right. I forgot this.
Taylor came by and dropped off some very, very
nice
gifts.
Shout out P1 Taylor.
Shout out to P1 Taylor. For me, he snagged me a Dark Star Spice Wars 2020 from Fremont Brewing, which I thought didn't exist, but he said he was at, I don't remember where he said he was, but he said he was at the store and Market of Choice. He was at Market of Choice and he was saying to, Taylor, I can't remember if you're married or it's your girlfriend, so I apologize. But he said to his girl, hey, well, let's go check the beer select, you know, just in case, you know, which is a classic thing I would do, you would do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we might as well take a look. I do it at New Seasons all the time with my girlfriend. I'm like, I'm just going to take a peek. She's like, yeah, whatever, I know. So he took a peek and he saw some stuff and he was very kind enough to bring this in for us. So I've got that, which I'm excited to put away with the rest of the stash. And then we've also got this Stages of the Moon 2020 Barrel-Aged Imperial Stout Chocolate Coffee Vanilla Coconut from Ruse Brewing.
Wow, interesting.
I have not seen Ruse 22's Wax Dipped.
No, and I don't think I've ever seen Ruse do anything like this that I've seen, at least.
And here was the one that Taylor was really excited to grab for us, for you. Stages of the Moon 2020, another version of this from Ruse Brewing, but this one has chocolate, vanilla, and peanut butter.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah. I haven't seen those. I think the labels look real slick. Wax Dipped from Ruse. I think that's cool. I didn't expect that at all.
I have a question.
Shoot.
Thank you, Taylor, by the way. This has nothing to do with what you did with the gift wise. It's fantastic. I very much appreciate it. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you.
Hanukkah.
Holidays. Yeah. I'm assuming he isn't Jewish, but if
he might be.
Happy Hanukkah.
I celebrate them all equally.
It's currently Kwanzaa, isn't it?
I believe so, yes. Yeah. This is correct.
Interestingly, at my apartment complex, a couple of apartments down, I saw the Kwanzaa candles in the window.
Sweet!
I was like, damn, I never see this. That's cool.
I always watch Futurama episodes about Kwanzaa.
Mm.
They have the book, What the Hell is Kwanzaa?
Yeah.
And it's like the guy, he's like, oh.
I know it looks cool, but the wax dip is annoying.
Yeah, you hate it?
Well, I hate trying to open it.
I just whip out a knife.
I know, but even like even the knife sometimes you have issues. Like if the wax is really thick and you try to get like underneath the cap with the knife as you're trying to like pop it while cutting it, I'm just like, why? what is the point?
Why you do this to me?
It doesn't do anything to keep the beer longer, does it?
I don't think so.
It's just a look thing.
Yeah, I think it's just a look
thing. And like
Fremont
does it cool because they leave the drip all the way
down.
Yeah,
the drip is really rad. It always reminds me, it makes me feel like it started with like Maker's Mark.
Mm-hmm,
like
right.
Maker's Mark is the most famous alcohol that has their wax dip topped.
It just seems like unnecessarily annoying for a slight boost in looking cool. Because I have spent, I'm not kidding. Now, I don't have like some sort of crazy sharp knife usually that I could use for this. I have spent upwards of 10 minutes trying to open wax dips in the past.
That's a little excessive for me.
I know. Well, so like, I would take a steak knife out, right?
Yeah.
And I would cut at it.
You just start sawing.
I start sawing at it. And I forget which one it was. Oh, it was the Crux Tough Love, which is one of my favorite barrel-aged beers I've ever had.
Yes, that is one of your favorite beers.
Man, was it a thick wax dip. It was thick with two C's. It was thick. And so I took the knife, and I started slicing at it.
I'm just imagining you in your fridge right now.
Well, it wasn't at my fridge. It was in the counter next to the fridge.
I can't speak. I'm laughing too much.
I remember exactly how it was. I was holding it, and I was like, okay, I'll cut through this. It's thick. Like, first thing I always try to do with the wax tip is I'll take the bottle opener, mm-hmm. and I'll see
if you can slide
it
in.
If I can get it in mm-hmm. and pop it without having to do too much work.
I've done that before.
It does work, usually.
Yes.
Usually you can get it in to where it's underneath one of the little ledges, and you can kind of pop it up. No, this was not happening. I went, okay, steak knife time. I start sawing at it, right? And I'm sawing for like 2 minutes, and I'm barely making a dent in this stupid wax, this stupid purple Crux wax on this beer that I just want desperately to drink because it's my favorite beer.
Now you hate it.
And so I'm sawing at it. So I get a little bit of a crevice out, right? I'm like, okay, I see the cap. Now I start trying to put the bottle opener back in because I found the ledge I can pop it up at, but the rest of the wax is too thick, and the bottle opener doesn't go through the wax around the little ledge I got. So I had to get the steak knife back again, and I start cutting around other pieces, and I'm trying to like use the pointy tip to like get underneath. It was the most annoying experience
just
ever.
Stabbing motion at the bottle.
It was one of those where, like, because I was sawing so hard, the bottle slipped out of my hands and it fell away. And I'm like, oh, my God. Just. So that's why I hate wax dipping.
That's too good, man. That's too good. Well, okay. I would hate wax dipping if that's what I had to go through every time.
Well, it was just once. But it was such a bad experience. Usually it's fine. Usually I can get it in and pop it up. And that's what she said. But that one experience was horrific. And I hated it so much. Thank you, Taylor, for the gifts.
Yeah.
I will deal with the wax tip because these beers are probably going to be delightful.
I will deal with you later.
All right. So that was my week in beer. That was your week in beer. Let us know what yours was. Instagram.com/beersonus. All right. What's coming up next year? What do you think is going to happen next year? The one thing of note that I thought was quite interesting, and it was brought up on Primetime here on 1080 a couple days ago when I was hosting with Isaac Rop. There is a professor, scientist, forget the official title, but a guy who knows things, you know.
I like people who know things.
Understand that. And he said that expect another roaring 20s.
Yeah?
Yeah. He says expect debauchery, vices, craziness, universally.
Vocal jazz?
I think he was talking more about like what people did in the 20s, not the stuff that was popular in the 20s. He said because, well, like in the 1920s, coming off the tail end of a pandemic, people are apt to go a little crazy.
So a lot of cuckolds and orgies and
sure
mask events.
Whatever it is that your vice and fantasy is, it's probably going to be happening in the 20s. He said, now this is not going to be this year, but he said, expect around 2023, 2024 for the roaring 20s to happen again.
Really?
Yeah, because everyone's been cooped up for the year. Now, coming up this year, the vaccine is here, right?
Sure.
Frontline workers and the most sensitive and elderly are getting it already. Dr. Fauci said that by the end of March, early April, it should be available for everybody to get if they want it. So that's only a couple months.
If they want it. Well, right. Idiots.
Okay, but that's for us.
Sorry. That's personal opinion, my bad.
A couple of months, we can get a vaccine.
I'm excited about that.
Me too. But because not everyone's going to get it right away, and because, you know, the virus is still out there, you know, mask mandates are still going to be a thing for a while. Mm-hmm. Even though you have the vaccine, you're still going to have to wear a mask for a bit.
Right, because you can still be a spreader.
You can still carry it, yeah. Until enough people get the vaccine and or have had it, then I think is the time when we can be like, hey, we're back to normal. So next year might still be a little bit inconsistent with, like, stuff that we can do.
Okay.
But once we start getting into, like, 2022... The report was like, well, people are still going to be a little bit nervous. They want to start doing things, but there's a bit of discomfort. You know, we've kind of relearned how to live based on, like, not wanting to get sick, right?
Yeah.
Like, the flu numbers are down this year because everyone's wearing masks.
Yeah, and all the endangered animals in Africa are coming back.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That will end quickly, probably, but...
There's a lot of masks in the ocean, though.
That's not good.
That's not good.
So... It might take a year or so for people to kind of fully get their party selves going again.
All right.
And then by 2023, 2024, we're going to have like a decade of craziness because everyone's going to be like, woo!
We survived!
We did it!
Celebrate good times.
Come on!
Yeah, dude.
So I think that spells great news for those of us who like to go drink.
We'll be drinking barrel-aged beers at 10 o'clock in the morning and it won't be a thing.
I don't know. Maybe.
With like 30 people at her house?
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. So that was the interesting tidbit where this is not necessarily this coming year because of, you know, we're still dealing with it right now. So, but it was a prediction of fun and debauchery for all.
I feel like
which I thought was exciting.
I feel like what you're saying, this reminds me of the days leading up to St. Paddy's Day and Halloween. But now we have a few years leading up to it, so follow my correlation. I see there's two types of people, 3 days, 4 days before St. Paddy's Day and Halloween. Two types of people. One person is like, I got to take a break. I'm going to go so hard on St. Paddy's Day that I'm not going to drink for the next few days. I find that to be a terrible idea. The other person, which is me, I'm going to keep this train rolling. So on St. Paddy's Day, I'm ready to rumble. You know what I mean? So I think what I'm hearing is we have... 2 years to get these drinking vessels into tip-top shape. And right now, it's going well. That's what we needed. You needed the pandemic year to really take that big push of tolerance up to a next level.
Right.
And now we spend 2021, 2022 really fine-tuning the edges.
Yep.
So when it comes to 23, 24, we just start pounding liquor in the morning and are functional adults.
That's like an advertisement for alcoholism.
Nah, no, it's cool. It's the Roaring Twenties. Flappers and jazz hands.
I do want to now, at some point in the 20s, if this is a correct prediction, I want to go to a Great Gatsby party and have it be like the old Roaring Twenties, but in the new Roaring Twenties.
Wouldn't that be fun? I'll throw one.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, give me 3 years.
Do you want to dress like all that?
Yeah, oh yeah. Okay, cool. I love dressing up.
Cool.
Yeah, getting fancy and getting drunk. Two favorite things in the world.
I hate dressing up, but I will dress up for a Gatsby party.
You don't like dressing up?
I just don't feel comfortable in those kind of clothes. Right. The biggest problem for me as a human adult is I'm large.
Yeah, it's the size of you.
I often say this. I've been saying this to my girlfriend now, too, because like I'm very particular about like my space when we're sleeping.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can be the same way, and I'm half your size.
Because I'm large, I've always been generally uncomfortable everywhere, right? Chairs aren't built for people who are 6'4" and 280 pounds. You know, airplanes aren't built for that. Generally, things are not built for people my size. So when I find a place that I'm comfortable, I'm very protective of that spot because it's like, oh my God, I finally got it.
You got a pitchfork, get off my lawn.
Right.
I'll kill you.
So when it's with fancy clothes, oftentimes, even if I've got them fitted correctly, like even if I go to a tailor and I get it all fitted correctly, it fits better, but
you just can't get comfortable.
Well, like my shoulders are always like they feel trapped.
Yeah.
And the sleeves are always a little bit too short. And you know, like sometimes my thighs are huge. Like the upper part of my legs are tight. And I'm just like, this sucks. And I've got huge feet. Like
what size you wear?
I'm 13, but I'm 4E width.
Oh, geez.
I'm the widest feet you can have, at least that are sole in shoes. So it's like, I'm always uncomfortable in fancy clothes. I love how I look in fancy clothes. Mm-hmm. I hate how I feel in fancy clothes.
Oh, see,
so I'll last in like my full getup for like 20 minutes, and then I'll be like, all right, tie off, can't breathe. Jacket off. Okay, I can move my arms again. Belt off. Okay, cool.
And now I'm naked.
I'm naked, yep.
Oh, I'm the opposite. I love it. You feel good. You look good. You look good. You feel good.
You play good.
Yeah. Every once in a while, when I was in junior college or community college, excuse me, what am I, a pro athlete? When I was in community college, sometimes I would wear slacks, a dress shirt, and a tie to tests. Like the old Michael Scott, but not every day, because if you look smart, you test smart.
Mm. Did that work for you?
I mean, I got into Wazoo.
Did that work for you?
I think. I hope so.
Okay, yeah. We've been tangenting here, but...
Okay.
So with that in mind, what is your outlook for 2021 craft beer-wise?
Well, I think what's going to be really interesting is vaccine stuff is going to get there, but... And I really, really hope we get...
The summer's going to be legit.
See, that's what I was getting to. I really hope we get a majority of the population in the Northwest, in the Vancouver, Portland metropolitan area. I hope we get a lot of vaccines out. Because I think come May, and especially June, when that sun comes out, this summer is going to be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be crazy drinking. I think all your brew pubs are going to have record numbers every day. I think you're going to start seeing people are going to look at their vacation days a little differently next year. And I think you're going to see it a lot more correlate with travel and with sunny days. So expect, look out, Bend, to any of you guys down there listening to this podcast, you're in for a wild summer. And we should see that rejuvenation just in the outdoor. I mean, everyone spent all this money on their outdoor patios. You might as well try to keep that going for the summer.
That was going to be my key was everyone's built outdoor spaces now.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's going to depend on some laws and some permit stuff and see what city does, but
I'm going to say
the state does, but I would hope they're going to let that go again.
Well, the places that took up streets and parking spaces, probably not going to be allowed to keep those built outdoor seating areas. For once COVID's over, right? I would imagine because I mean, some streets are fully closed.
Yes,
for restaurants, that's not going to stay the same.
No,
I don't think it could. It could, I suppose, but I don't think it's going to stay the same. But for those who have been lucky enough to have space to build solid outdoor areas, or maybe have already had them, but you know, did a better job of building them up because it was the only place you could have it. People love to sit outside and drink beer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, sometimes it gets too hot and you want to have the AC, right? Like in the middle of the summer, if it's like 95, 98 degrees, you don't really want to sit outside. But generally, it's temperate here. It's comfortable. Yeah, I could see that being a huge boost for the craft brew scene is just keeping those going.
Yeah, and I think because drinking is going to go to an excess level in the summertime and beer is getting better and better and better, I am really hoping this is the year of low ABV, well-made craft beer.
Hmm.
Like lagers at 3%, hoppy beers at 4%, but like with body. Hell, I would love if this is the year of non-alcoholic beer. I would love it. If I could go to a brewery and I could drink, you know, a 6% IPA and then switch to a non-alcoholic hoppy beer and then go to a 4.5% lager, I would love life.
That's interesting. I don't think I'd be that interested in drinking non-alcoholic beer.
If it tastes good.
Yeah.
If it tastes good. I think I'm into it because I will want to have long stints of being out with people.
Right.
And if I just continue to drink all day, then you just become worthless. And then your next day sucks and all that stuff.
Right.
So I would love at least the option. I would love to see that option come through. And who knows? Because I don't know how you price it. Is someone going to pay $5 for a pint of non-alcoholic beer? I doubt it.
Probably not.
But if you could get it to $3, $4 I would do. Especially if you knew it was a full day. If you were like, we're going golfing and then we're going to have dinner and then we're going to go see a show, I would love non-alcoholic options in the local craft beer world.
Do you foresee that happening though, or is that more of just a personal wish?
I think it's a chance. I
just don't like, I don't see any of our breweries doing it.
Started seeing it with low ABV lagers. I've started to see some low ABV lagers pop around anywhere between 3% and 4%. And I think it can happen with hoppy beers. But I think there's still some innovative ideas that need to happen in terms of keeping the body full. Because I remember we were drinking those stone beers, and you're right. A lot of session IPAs, quote unquote, or some Northwest pale ales, although Northwest pale ales tend to make it. But even hoppy pales sometimes really lack the body.
Yep.
And I know it's hard to have body and, you know, non-alcoholic. But I think we're smart enough to make that happen. I would like to see it.
I don't particularly care about it, so I mean, cool. If it happens, great. I just won't partake in that.
Yeah.
I just don't. I don't know. I mean, I don't see a benefit to it for myself, just the way that I tend to drink. I mean, I tend to have a higher tolerance anyway because I'm a big guy.
Right.
So I can drink a couple of beers and be okay.
And I drink slower than the average person, so that usually helps me. Yeah. That usually helps me out. But I have been in spots. I mean, I'm hanging out with my buddy Ryan. He'll slam a pint in 35 minutes and then look at me like, why am I taking so long? So I'm like, oh, sorry. Chug, chug, chug. Here we go.
And it begins.
Thank God it's just a Timbers game, and I'm going to ditch you in 3 hours.
So we also talked about last week that, you know, I think we're going to see another boost of, or a boom of the West Coast IPA coming back again.
I agree.
I think we've already started to see it.
I agree, yeah.
But I think it's going to continue next year, kind of a resetting of the IPA palate.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone's had their fill of hazies. They understand what that work, how that works in the palate and how that works in the industry and how the consumers want that. But I think that so many places for a little bit went so heavy and far into that realm that they only had a couple of options for those who didn't like hazies. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to start seeing that swing back the other way now. Not everywhere, but in a lot of breweries that maybe followed the craze because they wanted to make some money off of it and now are kind of going back to their roots a little bit. So I definitely think we'll see that for sure.
I'm kind of interested on that front with the IPAs. With the, you know, and I've talked about this kind of frequently over the last few months on this podcast, I'm interested to see if, because we're getting so much influx of California IPAs, I'm interested to see if the California West Coast and the Pacific Northwest West Coast start to, like bridge the gap a little bit and see if they come towards each other a little more, or if they continue to separate out a little more. I'd be really interested to watch that trend. Because I feel like a lot of, like I've said before, a lot of Cellar Maker beers, Alvarado Street, like some of that stuff is very different than what we have up here. But then you have your Beechwoods that are very similar to what we have up here. I'm interested to see if that gap will widen or shorten.
I'm very curious. This is another, it's open-ended. I'm not sure. This is more of a hope than anything else. So in my opinion, and I think in your opinion as well, and probably in a lot of our listeners' opinions, when we try beers from other states that are maybe not known as being craft beer states, right? Like, especially now because everyone's canning and they're sending their beer around to kind of stay afloat. I've tried beer from a lot of different states that I didn't expect to try beer from. Generally, I feel like a lot of states are still lagging behind the quality that we see in like the big craft beer states,
mm-hmm.
like us or California or Washington, for example.
Colorado.
I think we're seeing a pretty significant lag, at least from what I've tasted. Now, you know, it's traveling, so maybe that changes certain things. I wonder if these breweries, in whatever states they may be in, have had an ear to the ground on how their beer is being received in places like Oregon and maybe want to learn to step their game up because they might be doing great in their state, wherever it is, because there's not a lot of craft beer there, or they don't have a lot of competition or whatever.
Right.
But I hope that we get some, like, pioneering out-of-state beers that really step their game up to go, this is the quality that we want to try to achieve.
Yeah,
because I want there to be, when you travel or if you go somewhere that doesn't have a lot of options, I want there to be more options for more places that you can enjoy.
Yeah, like food in Southern California is very different than food in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. However, you can find both really great food in both spots. And sometimes going to a state, there might be popular beer, but it's not that great. Because I'm with you. Like you could take a one-off Von Ebert IPA and drop it in the state of Ohio, and that's the best thing they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that Von Ebert doesn't make great beer. They're my 2020 brewery of the year. But you know what I mean? A one-off from a top 10 brewery in town would dominate another state. And I would like to see that closer.
Yeah, me too. I think it's just because I've been doing a little bit of the experimenting with the market of choice stuff,
mm-hmm.
I've been trying a lot of the out-of-state beers. One that I was really excited about that I was really disappointed by was one out of Orlando. It was called, like, Adroit Theory.
Yeah, I remember that.
They have incredible artwork. They have cool names to their beers. Like, all the marketing stuff is there. But the beer just was not at a level that I expected, right? I think I got a black IPA from them, and I was like, I love black IPAs. Mm-hmm. These beers are usually great. I just did not like it that much. But what's your competition in Orlando, Florida for craft beer?
Right.
And probably nothing.
I would also wonder, though, if there's some sort of, you know, flavor like not like a house flavor, but like for your region that maybe we're just not aware of. That would be interesting. Like in that food thing, you know, if I'm having great tacos from a taqueria in Southern California, obviously that tastes very different than etouffee in Louisiana.
Yeah, I don't like Cajun food necessarily. So
you're crazy, man.
I just, it's the spices. I'm not a huge fan of those spices. So like
a lot of butter though.
That is true. My palate doesn't love that kind of food.
Sure.
And I realize I sound kind of like foo-foo and a little elitist when I talk about it like this, because you know, you could do that same experiment in Ohio and they hate the beer because that's not the palate of beer that they want.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So maybe that's a little bit elitist of me just because I live here and this is, you know, kind of what we've grown to like.
We do the best.
We know that we have the best craft beer, but for those who have only had certain options available to them, that's the best craft beer. And their palates are being trained to like that flavor.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe it's a negative thought. It's just something that I wish is like, I've gotten a lot of beers from different states from Market of Choice. And when I have them, like they look exciting. And then I have them and I'm like, could be better.
I wonder what the next trend's going to be. Because I feel like we're out of options. The smoothie sour thing is not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere?
No.
I hope it goes far away.
I hope it goes far away too.
Dies forever.
But it's not going to. It's
Why?
Beer for a non-beer drinker.
It's terrible.
My girlfriend and I were at Oakshire on 42nd, their Portland pub, the other day.
I didn't realize they had one in Portland.
Yeah, they have one on 42nd. And 42nd is actually North Portland. 42nd, like between Killingsworth and Alberta, is actually a really cool spot. There's some fun restaurants there. And we were there, and they had four different smoothie sours on. And I saw a bunch of people drinking them.
Mm.
And, you know, they fit stereotypes of non-traditional craft beer drinkers, but they're there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, last year, I would have never predicted that a smoothie sour would even be a style, right? So what's going to be the next big thing? I have no clue.
I have no idea. We've seen pastry stouts. We've seen pastry IPAs.
Yep.
The sugar thing, I think we've reached the end of sugar.
Right.
I don't know how much more sugar we can do.
I'm curious if the trend is going to continue to be bring in more non-craft beer drinkers, or is it going to be bring back the craft beer drinker?
Let's hope it's the latter.
Let's hope it's the latter, but
because we spend more money.
Generally, I think the thought is the more people that come in, the better.
Right.
Right? But
if a group of four comes in and only drinks one pint, you want me and Mike over them.
Yes, because we're going to drink three pints.
Yep.
And we're going to come back.
Yep.
That group of four had one pint and is going to come back maybe once every 4 months.
Right.
We're going to come back once every week.
This is my favorite brewery. I'll have a vodka tonic. And you're like, get out. Get out.
So I hope it's that. And that's why I hope it's a little bit more of a bitter West Coast IPA coming back. I'm not sure what other styles could be brought in that sense. I mean, we've done a ton of the Crispy Boy stuff.
It'll be interesting to see the evolution of just traditional styles. How much more? Because
we've seen the Vienna Lager, and we've seen that's grown into really popular.
Yeah, you've seen the Vienna, the Helles, you know, all this kind of stuff. Wayfinder makes a Doppelbock. I don't know how many people want a Doppelbock. Theirs is pretty good, but could we see more of that?
Well, funny enough,
see more Altbiers.
We talked about last week. Scheinerbock is a massively popular craft beer nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
It's based out of Texas. It's in Austin, Texas, but it's a Bock. It's a very drinkable beer for those who don't love craft beer because it's easy drinking. It's kind of sweet. It's not bitter.
Yeah.
So maybe that is a style that people want, and that is sticking with traditional styles as well.
Yep. So that's what I really want to see. I think we've put lagers back on the map.
So what you're saying is we're going to get traditional dark beers back on the map.
Maybe.
Let's go.
Maybe, dude. I'd love to see people more excited about Dunkels and Schwarz beers. I mean, I think we're seeing Schwarz fly in this year. I think that was an under-the-radar style.
I had a great Schwarz beer a couple weeks ago.
That did really well in 2020.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting, the non-yellow Crispies, how they do.
Mm. I hope you're correct. I hope you're correct.
Dude, I hope it's all great.
All right. Let's get to our beer of the week.
We got a fun one.
We do?
Yeah.
Let's finish this. Oh, I finished my Shrine
of Shadows. It'll be a fun one. And
I'm always ahead of you.
You're always ahead of me.
All right. Beer of the week. Coming up next, Beers on Us, Mike Lynch, Patrick Harris. Beer of the week time. I'm here on Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris.
Back to back.
Hey, guys. Drink.
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 Drink. We today are drinking a beer from our great, great friends, Mike's 2020 Brewery of the Year at Barrelick. We are drinking Jim Parker's Holiday Ale.
R.I.P., right?
Because I felt there is no better way. You know, I'm not. Oh, I think I gave myself too much.
That's okay.
I think there's no better way to send off this crappy year than a beer from a man that wasn't afraid to tell you to go F yourself.
So this R.I.P., correct?
Yes, yes.
Is he the OG at Bearlick or just an OG in the industry?
Jim Parker's an OG in the industry. Spent some time with Bearlick in the early days. Everyone knows this man. He's just an incredibly genuine, nice, funny, ornery, amazing human being that we lost not too
long
ago.
Some of the notes on the beer. Jim invented tachos. No, really, he did. Google it. Keep on hand trucking. Jim loved independent beer deeply and jokes and puns and punny jokes and whiskey. Up yours! Jim worked with us for 2 years and helped put the stubborn in our stubbornly independent self-distribution business. Jim was bald and old and grumpy when he had a cold. Three orange whips. Jim was a legend in the industry and a true friend. We miss you, Jim. Bleep! Jim Parker's Holiday Ale is a modern interpretation of Jim's original recipe from his first brewing job over 22 years ago. Imperial Winter Warmer brewed with Cascade, Columbus, and Chinook hops and five bad jokes per barrel. Cool. So it's interesting. Color-wise, talking about winter beer?
Talking about winter beer.
This is more Bale Breaker than it was Ben Brewing.
Well, the difference is this is your winter ale and not your winter IPA. I think I've decided that the winter IPA is just an IPA.
Okay, with a little bit more
malt. A little catchphrase.
Gotcha.
But I thought
the winter ale actually brings in sweetness and, and
a little more warming
spices.
Yeah, this is 8.5%.
Cool. Good thing it's 11:27 in the morning and we've already had half a beer.
I didn't know what to expect from this. I saw it this picture of Jim's face on the can, and there's stickers everywhere and magnets, and it all, I mean, he is now synonymous with this face, and it just kind of made me smile. And I remember you said that, you know, last week you picked these guys as your favorite brewery of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it'd be a nice way to send off 2020 on the COVID wall with a little Jim Parker love.
Sounds good to me. It's a good beer too. It does have that, what you're looking for in a winter warmer.
Yep.
It has kind of a sugary sweetness to it, but isn't overpowering. It kind of sticks in your mouth a little bit. It coats your mouth and throat, which is just, I think, typical when, especially because it's an imperial beer. When you get that kind of a beer, that it kind of just keeps you comfortable. Right?
I get.
It's a slower drinker too.
Yeah, I get a little like spicy character, but not from adjuncts. You know, just from its recipe build, which is kind of nice. Helps give you that little warm feeling to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a nice bite at the end. Is that just me? Let me take another sip.
Yeah, I got to take another sip.
I might be leaning off the
strata a little too much. There's something in the back end of my palate that is kind of biting. I just don't know if it's from the beer or if it's just like the sweetness of the beer kind of being left over.
I think it's the beer. I think it has that nice sweet, like ambery body in the center, but finishes really dry with nice bitterness. I mean, these guys love their hops. Cascade, Columbus, Chinook, those are some OG classic C hops.
And we said it was based on the 22-year-old recipe, right?
Yeah, so. I mean, that would do it. 22 years ago, I mean, beers were bitter. You know, not quite like the hop wars, but, you know, have a Bridgeport IPA 22 years ago. That's a bitter beer.
Have a Bridgeport IPA the day they closed. That's a bitter beer. Because they never changed their recipe. R.I.P. Bridgeport. I did always like you guys, even though you didn't change your recipes ever.
I know I heard somebody say, what old beer, if you could have, would you have right now? Someone said Blue Heron from Bridgeport. The Blue Heron Pilsner. It was a solid beer.
It was
a solid beer.
If there would be a pick a place you would go, for me, it'd be Bridgeport. I love that location over on Northwest Marshall.
Yeah.
And I liked the vibe, and they had good food.
Yeah.
So I'm sad about that.
I knew a lot of people that worked there, too. A lot of people I knew lost their jobs.
Yeah. Well, one of the people who worked at Breakside also worked at Bridgeport. I remember because I ran into the same person. I was like,
There was a while there.
I know you.
There was a while there where a lot of people that used to work at Bridgeport worked at Breakside. Same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of, you know.
Sort of, yeah.
If I could go anywhere to a brewery that's not open anymore, I would choose probably the Commons.
Yeah.
Probably the Commons.
I was also...
But I get to still drink their beers because, you know, Sam and Sean do great stuff.
There you go.
Yeah.
I was one of the few, I felt like, who was sad about Burnside Brewing closing as well.
You are. So I also noticed that on that, somebody said they missed Sweet Heat from Burnside, and that made me think of you instantly.
I like Sweet Heat. I also liked their winter beer, the Indomitable Snowman or whatever it was called. That was a good beer too. What I miss most about it is that it's across from Bossa Nova Ballroom.
Yep.
Which in the last few years before COVID became stop number one for all the metal bands I liked. So whenever I went to go see a metal show, I'd go across the street to Burnside, have Beautiful. A couple pints, go watch the show, so I'm not paying inside the venue prices for drinks. Although I guess isn't Mickler doing their place there?
I have no idea what's going on with that.
Because that location is a good location, right?
I never went. I have no idea. Yeah. With COVID.
Well, COVID might have changed everything.
Yeah, COVID, half the time, I don't know who's open and who's not. And I'm like actively trying to know this.
Right. All right, well, whatever brewery opens there, you will have my business when concerts happen again because you're very convenient to Bossa Nova Ballroom for sure. Oh, yeah, great beer. I mean, I don't have much else to say. It's the type of beer that I really want this time of year. It's hitting all the notes that I want from the beer. It's barrelic, so drink, and it's an ode to a legend in the industry. So there you
go. This is more of just like a, honestly, no pun intended, this was more of like a warm my heart kind of beer.
Mm-hmm.
Like just kind of like I saw it and I was like, you know what, Jim? Yeah, we choose you.
So thank you guys for listening. Very much appreciated. Thank you for listening all year. It's been a pretty difficult year to do the podcast. It's been interesting, but it's been tough because there are so many weeks where we were like, we can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
We've already talked about COVID like five times. What are we going to do? So thank you guys for sticking it out with us. We promise that next year when things are open again and we're able to do things, we're going to start going out and doing stuff again.
Nuts.
I mean, when we could temporarily go out and do things, we went out and did a couple episodes this year, so that was fun.
We have like 10 places we want to go.
That we've agreed with already with them before COVID. So Great Notion, Ruse, Occidental, all these places. We're looking right at you.
We're going to go to Montevilla.
Thunder Island.
Brewery 26.
Thunder Island said they wanted Thunder to have Island. Us out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brewery 26. Chicha wants to have us
Chicha,
out.
Chicha, yeah. I mean, we're all over the place.
There's so many places that we're like, yeah, absolutely. So next year, we'll be going ham.
A lot of on location.
Yes, which I like. I enjoy.
I think it
gets you a vibe of not just us, but also the people that work in beer as well. Thank you to Taylor for dropping off this gift. Very, very much appreciate it. I cannot wait to try these beers. And I'm very glad. I don't know if you saw on Instagram, but we had a girlfriend of one of our listeners reach out to us as a potential addition to a gift she got. And I was able to help with that, and she said it went very well.
Good.
So I'm very, very happy to that listener who got the gift that he wanted, and we were able to help expand that experience eventually. So I'm glad that went well as well. Have a very safe New Year's, guys. Have a happy New Year's, and get ready to enjoy a 2021 that hopefully in a couple of months will not have COVID in the front of everybody's mind.
Positive attitudes.
Positive thinking. It is actually true. It's important.
Positive attitudes.
Positive attitudes. We'll see you guys next year.
14.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.